All right. I need all of the children, let's say fifth grade on down, if you're willing to come. Fifth grade on down. We've got some seats here in the front with the Weddles and with the Anors. Yeah, you can stay there, David. You can be part of that. Come on down. We've got some seats on the front and then the second and third row. Maybe get some chairs available there. Come on down. I need your help this morning. All right. Victor, how about if you sit right there next to Miss Michelle and right over here. Actually, got two Victors. Yeah, Victor also next to Jude. Yeah, right there is good. Oh, let's put the two brothers together. So, Aiden, I'm going to have you sit next to Jonathan there. Oh, good. We found it. All right. Thank you so much for being here and help me with the message this morning. We're going to let the parents and the adults listen in, if that's okay with you. All right? Is that okay? All right. Do you want to sit up here with them? All right. Good. All right. The very first thing we're going to do, I was very surprised. When we were at Good News Club last week, actually, we were in the public school, and I asked the children if they had ever heard Away in a Manger. And hardly any children have ever heard of that song, Away in a Manger. Have you guys heard Away in a Manger? Yeah. Of course you have, right? Because your parents bring you to church, and you probably sing that here at church. We're going to probably sing some of these even tonight. So let's go ahead and sing. We're going to skip Silent Night because we're going to sing that tonight. But let's go ahead and sing Away in a Manger. And I invite the adults to sing with us, okay? Ready? Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the heavens looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. All right, little disclaimer here. The person who put these words together for me used a little different version. The stars in the heavens? What? The sky, right? Okay. Some of us probably know it that way. Let's sing the second set. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes. But little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky. And stay by my side till morning is nigh. And stay by my cradle, right? Well, it's the same thing. Let me ask you guys a question, because nobody really knew this at the Good News Clubs. What does it mean when it says the cattle are lowing? What does that mean when the cattle are lowing? Victor, what do you think?
That means mooing.
Very good. That means mooing, making sounds. Moo, right, very good. And so the cattle were making sounds, and that's why the baby awoke. Because do you live like on a farm or something? How do you know this? You just know that. Wow, that's really good. All right, so the cattle are lowing because baby Jesus was born in a stable with animals all around. Because why were they born in a stable? That's kind of a funny place to have a baby, in a barn or a cave where there's animals. Why were Mary and Joseph in the stable with the animals? Victor? No, the other Victor. Because there was no room for them in the hospital, in the hotels, there was no room for them to go. And that was the only place that they could go. All right. Wow, you guys are so smart. I wish I had you with my in my Good News Club to help me out with the kids there. All right. So what we're going to do, interestingly, when we sang Joy to the World, the children knew Joy to the World much better than they knew Silent Night or Away in a Manger. Interesting. We'll skip this part here. Because I want to go right to what we call our word up. If you don't remember anything else from this lesson today, if you just remembered this, like when your mom and dad says, "So, what did you learn in church today?" You would say, "Oh," and then you would say the word up, because that's what you would have learned today at church. Hopefully the adults will remember this too. But here's what we want everybody to remember when you leave today, and that is this. God keeps his promises. Let's say it with me. Okay, ready? God keeps his promises. So today, whenever I say word up, then you'll say, God keeps his promises. And sometimes I do that because I think people's attention is kind of waning a little bit, wandering a little bit. You're thinking about what you're going to be eating for lunch, and I have to bring you back. And we say, word up. Okay, this time we're going to be really tricky. Word up.
God keeps his promises.
Oh, man, you did so good. All right. Word up.
God keeps his promises.
Okay, you got it. All right. So we'd also like to learn a verse, and this is very important because God shows us how much he loves us by telling us in his word. So it's important for us to be reading the Bible. In fact, I'm encouraging your parents to actually maybe read through the Bible, the whole Bible, next year. Starting January 1st, reading a few chapters every day, and then by December 31st, they will have read through the entire Bible. But in the Bible, it tells us about just how much God loves us and the promises that he makes for us and to us. And, of course, word up. All right. Well, if he keeps his promises, it's kind of important to know what his promises are, right? If we're going to believe that he keeps his promises. So, we're going to learn a verse. It's always important to memorize the Bible. How many of you have ever memorized a verse in the Bible? Let me see your hand. Okay, good. So, we're going to learn this. In fact, some of you may already know this verse. Let's see what it is. Let's say it together. Ready? Luke 2:11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Luke 2:11. So we always say, I always say Luke 2:11, the reference or the address of the verse, first and at the end, because sometimes I forget the verse, but I remember where it is so I can look it up in the Bible. I know none of you ever forget things, but sometimes I forget the verse and the wording. But if I can remember the verse, the address, the reference, then I can look it up. Somebody tell me, is Luke in the Old Testament or the New Testament? Aiden? In the New Testament, okay. And does anybody know which book in the New Testament? Like how many books in? Do you remember? Victor? Very good. The third book, Matthew, Mark, Luke. So it's one of the Gospels. It's one of the four books that tells us about the life of Jesus. And so this verse tells us, for unto you. That means this is for you. It's for everybody in here. For unto you, Jesus was born for you. It says, was born this day in the city of David? What is the city of David? Aiden? Bethlehem. Now, why, I'm going to follow this up. Aiden, why is the city of David, why is Bethlehem called the city of David? Because David had his palace. Well, did he actually have his palace in Bethlehem? No, right? Now, he was born there. David was born there. That's where he grew up. That's where his family was from. So it was the city that he was from. Now, he actually captured another city later and put his palace there. What city was that? Do you remember? Does anybody remember what city he captured and made the capital? In fact, it's the capital to this day of Israel. Yeah, Aiden? Jerusalem, right. Jerusalem. Okay, so when it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David," we're talking about Bethlehem. So Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and it says, "A Savior, which is Christ the Lord." So Christ is another way of saying Messiah. He was the one that was promised to come, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today. But Jesus is not only the Messiah, the one that would come and take care of our sin problem, but he's also the what? What's the last word here? The Lord. And what does that mean?
That he's Jesus,
right. And what does the fact that Jesus is Lord, the Lord, what does that mean? Jane?
He is God.
Oh, that is very true. And because he's God, is he in charge of everything?
Yep.
In fact, he's like the boss, right? It's interesting, when we were, when Mr. Hip and my wife and I were in Vietnam, we could not talk about God in public because they were afraid that the police would arrest us, or maybe they would see us with other Vietnamese and maybe they would arrest the Vietnamese. So we were not allowed to say Jesus in public or God in public, just to be safe, just to be careful with the other Christians. So when we talked about God, we always had to call him the boss. So when we were talking, we'd say, "So what has the boss done for you today?" You know, or something like that. The boss. Well, we knew who the boss was. It was Jesus. He's the Lord. He's the boss. He's in control. All right, so let's say this together again. In fact, let's break it down. Let's see if we can remember this. Ready? Luke 2:11. One more time. Luke 2:11. Let's say it now. Whoops. There we go. Let's say it without looking. Ready? Luke 2:11. One more time. Luke 2:11. All right? And let's say this part of it. Ready? "For unto you is born this day." Stop. What's the reference? Somebody raise your hand. Tell me what the reference is. Very good. All right, let's say it together. Ready? Luke 2:11. "For unto you is born this day." All right, let's see if we can say just that part without looking. Ready? Luke 2:11. "For unto you is born this day." Okay, very good. All right, the next one. "In the city of David, a Savior." Ready? "In the city of David, a Savior." Say it again. "In the city of David, a Savior." And let's go back and say these two parts together. Ready? "For unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior." Do you know what the last part is, even without looking? Which is Christ the Lord. Why are we taking all this time, right? You guys already know this. You're so good at this. Okay. Which is Christ the Lord. Let's say that together. Ready? Which is Christ the Lord. One more time. Which is Christ the Lord. All right, somebody raise your hand and tell me, what was the reference again? What was the reference? Luke 2:11. What is your name?
Alex?
Alex? All right. Good job, Alex. So Luke 2:11, he got that right. Let's say the whole thing. I think I've got the next one here. Okay, let's say the whole thing together. Luke 2:11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Luke 2:11. All right, I'm going to say it. Let's do it one more time with the words. And if anybody can say it from complete memory, Miss Pam is going to give them a big treat. She didn't know I was going to say that, but she's now on the hook. So, all right. So she may not have it right now. You may have to come back next week, but I'm sure she'll have something very nice for you. All right, so let's say it together, and let's see if you can say it after we practice one more time. See if you can say it all from memory without even looking. Okay, ready? Luke 2:11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Luke 2:11. All right. I think the husband was sent on an errand for these very purpose. All right. Let's see. Does anybody want to try and say this? Okay, Aiden, you want to try? And the reference? Very good. Yes. Good job. Give him a hand. All right, Jane, you want to try it? Well, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. You got all the main concepts of that verse. Good job. All right, let's just review. Let's say it together one more time. Luke 2:11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Luke 2:11. You want to try it?
Me.
Okay.
Luke 2:11. Unto us was born this day in the city of David, which is Christ.
A Savior.
Which is the Savior, Christ our Lord.
That is very good. Good job. Let's do it. Let's look at it one more time. And then I think we're only going to have time for maybe one more child to try. Okay. Would you like to try, Adeline? Okay. And the reference? Wow, that was perfect. Good job, Adeline. All right. I am so proud of you guys. Good job. All right, well, let's get on to our lesson today. This is where it can get a little interesting. Word up.
God keeps his
promises. All right, oh, the adults did so much better. Oh, good job, adults. All right, how many of you, I want you to think about if you had a chance to go anywhere in the world at any time in history. You could go anywhere in the world, any time in history, where would you go? Aiden? 5 days ago. 3 days ago. Wow. That was I'm sure there's a story behind that. I'd like to know that sometime. All right, so in this area? 3 days ago? You'd like to go back 3 days ago. Oh, okay, so in this area, okay. Anybody else, if you could go anywhere at any time back in the past, where would you go? Jaden?
Back into at the beginning of the Bible.
At the beginning of the Bible. So you'd like to go all the way back to creation and see that? Wow. Adeline?
The same stall where Christ was born.
Oh, wow. She'd like to go back 2,000 years ago, the night Jesus was born. Okay. Good. Victor? This Victor?
Canada.
Canada? And like how long ago? Like 10 years ago or 1 year ago or... Oh, you'd like to go back to Canada last summer break. Oh, that was a memorable Canada break. Okay, good. Where would you like to go?
Maine.
Maine.
Of course.
Of course. Where there's lots of snow, right? Oh, very good. But we're very glad that you're here in Maryland, too, right now. Yes. Okay, Victor, where would you, if you could go anywhere, anytime, where would you go? Wow, that's just like your brother. You know what? Because we had two people say the very same thing, we're going to go ahead and do that, okay? But in order to go back in time, we're going to go back now, oh, about maybe 6,000 years, okay? But to go back 6,000 years to the very, very, very beginning of time, I'm going to need your help. And what I'm going to ask you to do to help me with this is I'd like for you to stand up. So stand up, okay? Stand up. And then we're going to turn around three times. This is like our time machine, okay? We're going to turn around three times, and we're going to go back 6,000 years to the Garden of Eden. All right? Ready? Go. One, two, three. All right. Let's see where we ended up. Hey, go ahead and have a seat. All right. We have gone back now 6,000 years. Two of the children wanted to go back. We did not plan this. This was completely spontaneous, actually. And so we've gone back 6,000 years to the time that God created the heavens and the earth. Now, what do you see in this picture? What do you see, Arya? You see Adam. What do you see? Ayun, what do you see? Wait, do you see Eve?
No.
Where is she?
In the garden.
Did she not cut her hair? Is that him hugging Eve?
No.
No. She's, yeah, bad hair day there. All right. Victor, what do you see?
A lion.
A lion. Very good. By the way, what do you see there, Mr. Robert? What do you see in that picture? An elephant. By the way, I noticed in this picture there was no donkey. But there was a rhino. And an elephant. All right, well, just interesting. I had nothing to do with this. Victor, what do you see here?
A baby deer and a really long deer.
You're right, a very long deer.
That deer is long.
So we've got some deer, we've got an elephant. Now, by the way, boys and girls, do you think that it would be good today to go up and hug a lion?
No.
Yeah, please do not do that. Because you will be a sandwich for that lion, okay?
Yes.
So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, by the way, God created on the sixth day the land animals and Adam. And then we're going to find out, too, that he also created Eve, just like Ayanu said. Because Adam saw a mommy lion and a daddy lion and a mommy deer and a daddy deer, and he was, hey, where's the Mrs. Adam? And so God created Eve out of a rib from his side. But does anybody know what did God create on the first day? This is tough. What did God create on the very first day? And don't say the heavens and the earth. It's something in specific. Victor? Do you know what it was on the very first day? Alex?
He made light.
He made light. Very good. And because there was light, then there was also darkness, right? And on the second day, does anybody know what he made on the second day, Arya?
The moon and the stars.
Oh, he did make the moon and the stars, but that was on a different day.
Oh,
we're going to get to that in just a second.
Water.
Water.
And the sky.
Right, and he separated the waters, and you had the water in the above and the water in
the
Yeah, right. And then on the third day, you can't live on water, can you?
No.
So what did he make on the third day?
Land.
Dry land, and then the plants and the trees that came with that. And then Arya said already what God made on the fourth day, the sun, moon, and stars. And on the fifth day, Aiden? Right. So the birds and the fish on the fifth day, and then land animals and man and woman on the sixth day. And what did he do on the seventh day? He rested. That's right. I was just talking to a child came up to me this week, actually, at Good News Club. He said, Pastor Rambler, actually, when God created, he didn't create in one day. It was millions and millions of years that God created these things. Is that what the Bible says? No. On the first day, the evening and the morning were the first day, and he created this. And the evening and the morning were the second day, and he created. No, God just took 6 days to create this whole universe. And when God created it, he said it was very, very, what? Good. Very good. And that's why Adam could be hugging a lion. And do you realize they had dinosaurs there too?
Yeah.
They had a T-Rex there. But the T-Rex wasn't eating all the other animals.
No.
That's a good thing because there weren't many animals there to begin with. They were all friendly and kind and loving, and they got along great because everything was perfect. Wouldn't that be kind of nice? I mean, the blueberries were probably like this. It was just unbelievable how beautiful and wonderful, and there were so many good things to eat. But then something happened. Something very bad happened. Do you remember? How many trees, by the way, could they eat fruit from? How many trees could they eat the fruit from? Well, you don't have to a number. Maybe I should ask this. How many trees could they not eat the fruit from? Yes.
100.
100.
I know.
Oh.
I know. One.
So it was 100 minus 99, right? So they could not eat the fruit. In fact, does anybody know the name of the one tree that they could not eat from? Victor? Do you remember what it is? Right, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They could not eat the fruit from that tree. That meant they could eat the fruit from every other tree in the whole garden, everything they could eat except for one tree. Can you imagine what it would be like if your parents only had one rule? One rule. And maybe it was like, turn the light off when you leave the room. That's the only rule you had ever. Wouldn't that be kind of nice if you just had one rule? Well, Adam and Eve only had one rule. And God wanted to show that, or wanted to test them to see if they would obey. So how many of you think that Adam and Eve obeyed and did everything right? Put your thumb up if you think they obeyed God and did everything right. If they did everything wrong, put your thumb down. Oh, man. Okay, you've heard this story before. Okay. Yes, unfortunately, Satan came and tempted Eve. And in fact, he tempted Eve, he was in the form of a what?
Snake.
And so this snake came up to Eve one day and said, Eve, look at the tree. Look at the delicious fruit on this tree. Oh, you will love this fruit. And Eve said, oh, no, we cannot eat that fruit. In fact, we can't even touch that fruit because in the day we do eat that fruit, we will die. And the snake said, that's so silly. You're not going to die. Boys and girls, was the snake telling her a lie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it was a big lie. You're right. It was a big, big, fat lie. Yeah, and so Eve was like, oh, I don't know, but God said if we shouldn't do it. And the snake said, oh, that's because God doesn't love you. He doesn't want you to have any fun. In fact, if you serve God, you will have no fun. If you eat this fruit, you can be just like God. Now, is that true?
No.
Can any person be just like God?
No.
No. He is a liar. You're right. By the way, let me ask you something. Does God love you? Does God love you? Does God love you?
Yes.
Yes. Does God love you? Yes. God loves everybody. And he would never ask us to do something that would harm us or hurt us. He does these things to protect us. By the way, this is why your parents have rules too. Because they love you and they're trying to protect you. They say, they don't tell you, hey, go out on the highway and play in the middle of the street when the truck is coming. Your parents don't do that because they love you. They don't want you to be hurt. Well, Eve ate the fruit, and then she gave the fruit to her husband, Adam, and Adam ate the fruit. And what do we call when you disobey God? What do we call that? We call that sin. That's right. Give me an example of sin other than eating the fruit and disobeying God. What's an example today of sin? Maybe somebody doing something that would be called sin. Yes. Yeah. Especially if they had not done anything to you, right? Yeah. Yeah. So violence, punching people, that would not be, that would be sin, right? Yes. Okay, yeah, that would be even, yeah, we see the human nature coming out for sure. Yes, Aiden? Doing what? Oh, yes, yes, that would be, because that would be all selfish and disruptive, right? I think you guys understand it, so let's move on here. Good job. So Adam and Eve had done some things, they actually disobeyed God. And the Bible says that because Adam sinned, sin came into the world, and death by sin. Do people die today?
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody dies, right? They didn't have to do that. God didn't want us to die, but he wanted to have a friendship with us. But because God is holy, and Adam and Eve had sin, and by the way, when Adam and Eve sinned, that means that their children would have sin, and their children, and their children, and even today when you were born and when I was born, we were born with a sin in our heart. We have a want to do the wrong thing. So God had to throw them out of the garden. But before he did that, he made a promise. And he promised Adam and Eve that one day he would send a person that would save them from their sin. That a little baby would be born who would save them from their sin, that would give them hope, that would allow them to have a relation, a friendship with God again. Word up? So Adam and Eve had a little baby boy, and they were so excited. This must be the child that God had promised, and they named him Cain. Was Cain the savior of the world?
No.
No. So they had another little baby boy, and his name was Abel. Was Abel the savior of the world?
No.
And they had another little baby boy. His name was Seth. Was he the savior of the world?
No.
In fact, it was so bad that Cain murdered his brother Abel. And sin just got worse and worse. And so they waited. How long do you think they waited? Well, do you think they waited 1,000 years?
No.
How about 2,000 years?
Oh, then we'd be dead by then.
Yeah, they were a lot of dead people by then for sure. How about 3,000 years?
Oh, we would totally be dead.
Yeah. How about 4,000 years?
Totally, totally be dead.
Well, let's stand, everyone. The children, stand up, stand up, stand up. Okay, we're going to have to go back. Well, we're at the beginning of time, so we have to move forward now 4,000 years, okay?
Oh,
So let's turn around three times. Ready? One, two, three. All right, be seated. Whew, I'm kind of dizzy.
Me too.
All right, I think, wait, well, wouldn't you know it? And what is your name?
Mary.
Mary. Okay. Well, nice to meet you,
so,
Mary.
God sent a powerful angel to visit me. At first, I was really scared, but the angel told me to not be afraid. He said I was going to have a baby boy and that I was going to name him Jesus. This baby will be the Son of God, he said. At first, I thought it sounded impossible, but then the angel explained to me that the baby would not have a human father like all the other babies do. Instead, God will put the baby inside of me to grow. He told me that God can do anything. I want to live my life to please God. So I said to him, I am God's servant. Let it happen just like you have said. Then suddenly the angel was gone.
Wow, that is quite a testimony. Let's thank Mary for coming and sharing us that story with us. Yeah. Wow, so Mary just told us that she wasn't married yet, but she was going to have a baby, but I think she was engaged to, what was her, yeah, where's Joseph? Because she was engaged to Joseph, but they weren't married yet, but now, she's going to have a baby. Do you think Joseph is going to be a little upset about that? In fact, let's go find Joseph. Let's stand up. And don't move anywhere, but let's just walk in place to Joseph's house, okay? Just walk in place there. Don't move. Just walk in place. Don't move. Let's just find out if Joseph is here. Okay, you can be seated. Well, Joseph, you're home. Good.
When I heard Mary's pregnant, I was upset. I knew the baby wasn't mine, so I thought she had cheated on me. Then an angel came to me in a dream. He told me the baby inside Mary was put there by God himself. It was okay for me to marry her, even though the baby didn't belong to me. The angel told me to name the baby Jesus, which means God saves. Jesus would save people from their sins. God was keeping his promise after so many years.
How many years? 4,000 years. Thank you, Joseph, for sharing that with us. Right. You know, boys and girls, this is a reminder. Oh, word up. Even though it was 4,000 years, sometimes it just seems like God has forgotten. It seems so long that we have to wait. But God always keeps his promises. You know what's really, really good is that God promised to take care of our sin. And did God keep his promise? Yes. He sure did. In fact, this little baby, word up.
God keeps his promises.
This little baby would grow, there's the little baby right there. This little baby would be born in Bethlehem. And by the way, they put him in a manger. Nobody knew what a manger was in our Good News Club. Do you know what a manger is? Aiden, what's a manger? Right, it's a feeding trough, like a little box or a trough where they would put the hay or the food, and the animals would come over and eat the food that was in this box. So they took the food out, of course, and they put some nice fresh hay, I'm sure. And that was the baby's cradle. It's like the crib. And they wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger like that. And God kept his promises. You know, it doesn't matter how impossible the situation seems. God has promises that he will keep for each one of us, no matter what the situation is. And so, Jesus, this baby grew up. And you see a picture here of, looks like a man that doesn't have very much money, very poor. But here's the thing, because Jesus was born in a stable, it kind of shows us that God cares about people who are rich or poor. Here he is helping somebody that's very poor, and it looks like maybe he had had leprosy because he's looking at his hand like, wow, my skin. Because leprosy, you know, was terrible disease that ate away your skin, and people didn't want to be around you. People didn't want to touch you or be your friend. And Jesus would come and heal them and be their friend and show love to them. And it's a reminder, again, that Jesus, when he came, God so loved the whole world. Does that mean that God loves people in China?
Yeah.
What about people in Russia?
Yes.
What about people in New York City?
Yes.
That's one of your favorite places. Yeah. Well, God loves people in all of these places, right? Yes, Arya? Where is Jesus right now? Where is Jesus right now? Victor? He's in heaven right now. We're going to talk about that in a second. So Jesus healed these people. He healed the blind people so they could see. People who were lame, he made them to walk. He was doing everything perfectly and right. He didn't sin at all. So everybody loved Jesus, right? Because he was so good and kind. They loved him and they wanted to serve him and worship him, right?
Nope.
That's correct. Nope. Isn't that sad? Jesus was perfect and people hated him for that. In fact, some of the religious leaders and some of the political leaders, they took him and they nailed him to a what? To a cross. They nailed him to a cross. And they put... Yeah, I think that just represents the blood that was shed for us. Yeah. I actually never noticed that before. Yeah. But I think that just represents... When Jesus died on the cross, did he die because he was such a bad person?
No.
Jesus died. He chose to die. Yeah, because he died to pay for our sin, to pay for the sins of the whole world. And Jesus had a crown of thorns put on his head and the nails in his hands and in his feet. And then just to make sure he was dead, they put a spear up into his side. And Jesus died. In fact, the Bible says Jesus died for our sins according to the scripture. And after that, they took him down from the cross and they buried him, right? And he was buried. But that's not how the story ends, does it? What happens next? What?
He was dead on Easter Day.
So how long was he buried for?
3 days.
3 days, right. So he was, that's right, he was buried for 3 days and he rose again, and that's why we celebrate Easter. But Christmas is all about when Jesus was born. Word up. God keeps his promises. And the whole reason for the season is so that Jesus could come to this world, that he could become a man, a human being, just like you and us, just like you and me, and that he could represent us and die on the cross and pay for our sins. And here's one of the promises God made. That whosoever, what does whosoever mean? Victor, what does whosoever mean? Anybody, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. In fact, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. That's a promise that God made. If you believe in Jesus to be your Savior, if you ask him, dear Lord, forgive me of my sins and save me, will he keep that promise and save you?
Yes.
Word up. And you know, even if you've asked Jesus to save you, there are still a lot of promises for you as his child. Do you know that the Bible says 365 times, don't be afraid?
Don't be afraid.
Right. You don't have to say it 365 times, but you got the idea.
Don't be afraid,
Right.
Me saying that.
Right. And that would be like all year long.
Yeah.
And you know, when the Bible says, fear not, it gives you a promise. For I am with you. God, well, word up. And it doesn't matter how impossible it seems, and it doesn't matter how long it seems, God always keeps his promises. Do you know, boys and girls, that God has also promised that Jesus is going to come back someday?
Of course he is.
Of course he is. I know. Who would not even believe that, right?
Yeah,
he is, I know, the faith of a child, Lord. Let us have the faith of a child. Are we ready for his return?
Yeah, sort of.
You guys are, yeah.
Well, I know that I am going to heaven, but
yeah.
I haven't been baptized
yet. Ah, okay.
I'm still working on it.
Yeah.
I
so,
don't even know how to swim yet.
Oh, well, don't worry about that. We'll be okay.
I don't even know how to hold my breath.
Yeah, you'll be okay. You'll be okay. All right. Well, let's, Mr. Rebert. Let's sing a closing song here today. I'm sure you've had time to think about what we want to sing. Very good. All right. Let's stand. Let's stand as we sing a closing hymn.